not too far from the house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. So we're down to the last hurrah today. And I realized that last week was Pentecost and no mention was made of Pentecost the whole day in worship or in here. So that's one thing about the class that I've sort of regretted is that we kind of gave short shrift to Lent. Except, of course, for Easter. We did a good job with Easter and also Pentecost. So I wore my tie. I like to wear on Pentecost, representing all the different languages. And also, since we're wrapping up the true story of the whole world today, it kind of represents all the nations and people that are covered by God's love and the call of the Israelites to be a light to all the nations. So I thought that would work for the last Sunday of our study as well. So, for the first 15 minutes, or maybe less, who knows, but probably longer, given me, I want to do a little wrapping up of things, and then the second half of the time, I have some questions for us to just share together as we draw this to a conclusion, and then we have a questionnaire that Eric will give you as you leave that we'd like for you to fill out, to kind of as feedback to the planning group. And you can either sign it or not sign it, doesn't matter. But if you take that with you and fill it out, it doesn't take long to do. But that will be a big help as we think about studies in the future. So, the true story of the whole cosmos. I changed world to cosmos because it's really bigger than just this world. It's a cosmic story. And several years ago, I preached a sermon called The Bible in the Key of C. And kind of looked at the whole story using the alliterative technique, a sermon technique Jan knows about, I'm sure, hadn't heard it, of using C's, because C's seem to really fit. So I thought I'd do that to wrap us up today, not just give you the whole sermon, to kind of go through it that way, to kind of think about this trajectory, the arc of the whole biblical narrative, which is what this whole class has been about. To help us have a sense of where individual stories that we know, favorite stories, stories that aren't favorites, ones we've learned in Sunday school, heard sermons about, and how they fit in the whole picture of the whole biblical narrative. What was the German word, Jürgen?
Heilsgeschichte.
Yeah, the salvation history, the story of God's saving act, or the way the authors of our book put it, God's restoration project of creation. So, first is creation with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then immediately you have confusion. I came up with five C's for this. Confusion, conflict, consternation, crisis, and calamity. All of those fit with the fall of Adam and Eve. And then Cain's murdering of Abel. And then you have covenant as God comes back to restore. And actually, in the section of covenant, there are four covenants we learned about. What was the first covenant? After Cain and Abel, everything got so bad that God first destroyed the whole world with a flood and then made a covenant with who?
Noah.
Oh, everybody say Noah.
Noah.
We're awfully quiet. Do like Mr. Rogers. Can you say Noah? So the Noahic equal and Noah covenant, promising never to destroy creation again, particularly by water. But God does never destroy creation again. And as we saw in Revelation last week, God doesn't destroy. God recreates a new heaven and a new earth. So I think that first covenant, that it will never be destroyed again, not just by water, that is promised in Revelation to be a recreation, a restoration. So, Noah. But then, of course, after that, there is confusion, calamity, crisis, conflict, consternation again. And we have the Tower of Babel. And the people are scattered. And so then God comes at the restoration project again with another covenant. And who was that with?
Abraham.
Who was first Abram, and his wife's name?
Sarai.
Exalted father became Abraham, father of a multitude, father of nations, and the promise, the Abrahamic covenant, the promise calling Abraham's family to be a special people, blessed to be a blessing. to share that blessing, that restoration and salvation, that calling with the whole world. And Sarai means what? Do you remember anybody?
Princess.
Sarai becomes Sarah. They both are just alternatives meaning princess. But again, after the call of Abraham and Sarah and then their sons and their wives, we have confusion, calamity, chaos, crisis. Chaos. I didn't put chaos up there. No. And we have all of those. I'm not going to repeat anything for you, Wayne. So we have all those seeds again, as you know. Tim mentioned in the sermon this morning about Jacob's brothers. Jacob became Israel, and then the brothers selling Joseph into slavery, and the period of slavery in Egypt, and God still being with them, remembering and calling them out through the wilderness to the promised land. And there was a third covenant. Who was the covenant made with? The leader. Moses. So this is the Exodus covenant, Mount Sinai. How do you spell Sinai?
S-I-N-A-I.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That doesn't look like it, but my OCD here is... Not much better. So this covenant had conditions. I see when there are some other OCD people in here. So this was the Noah covenant and the Abraham covenants were unconditional. I'm never going to destroy the world again, no matter what. No conditions. I'm calling you to be a light to the nations. No conditions. The Mosaic covenant on Mount Sinai, 10 commandments and their conditions. I'll be your God, but you have to be my people, and these are the conditions that in order to live in the goodness and the promise that I'm offering you in this covenant, you have to do your part too. Tim said this morning, we've dreadfully fallen down on doing our part. That's the history on and on that we keep falling down. So, new covenant, and again, confusion, chaos, calamity, consternation, crisis. The people in the wilderness want to go back to Egypt. And they get to the promised land. We heard all those dreadful stories that they had to conquer the promised land and all those terribly violent wars and the harem, the holy war. Jihad is kind of a reflection of that today in the Muslim community, but it's part of our long tradition, the harem in Hebrew is the holy war to wipe out everything. So all the problems continued to come. And then they had judges ruling them, and a lot of battling with judges, and then they clamored for a king. And Samuel said, and God said through Samuel, be careful what you ask for. But God granted him a king. Things got better. Saul, David, the height, Solomon, things began, well, even in David, things began to deteriorate, the division into the two kingdoms, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And so again, into confusion and calamity and disobedience and the exile. I missed this covenant. What was the fourth covenant after Moses and the judges and the rise of kingship?
David,
the Davidic covenant. Sometimes referred to as the royal covenant. And the promise to... blessed through David and then through David's descendants with a king that becomes the notion of the Messiah, a new king in the line of David, part of that Davidic covenant, that royal covenant. But again, the confusion and conflict, consternation on people's part and on God's part, and the exile and then the return from exile. So again, falling away from the restoration project. And so then God sends Christ, the third, these are all positives, these up here. All positive acts of God in this salvation history, this restoration project. So God comes in God's own self as a human, incarnation in Christ, the Word become flesh. And Christ is also representative of another covenant. The what covenant?
New covenant.
The new covenant, yeah. So there's a lot of C's in here with these different covenants too. Bible in the key of C, Wayne, that's what I'm talking about. And so Jesus says that it was promised by Jeremiah, there'll be a new covenant written on your hearts, not just on tablets of stone. And in Christ, Christ says at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. A new commandment I give to you, love one another. New covenant. So even God comes down in the fullest expression of God's restoration project, and still humans consarn it all. Another C. Confusion, conflict, chaos. Jesus is killed. Resurrection. And then comes church. And this is where we are now, of course. We're in the period of the church, the body of Christ. And it's interesting, there's not a specific covenant talk about it, except that the church is the covenant community, right? We are the covenant community, living out the covenant, the new covenant of Christ. So again, covenant gets acted out by us with God in this restoration project, but we continue to fall down, we continue to have problems, we continue to have fights in the church. The United Methodist Church just finished their general conference, and one of our friends from seminary who's a pastor in the United Methodist Church and about to retire was talking with anguish about their decisions about, you know, their debate about the homosexual marriage and ordination and all of that stuff, and how they just kind of, well, we'll do another study. They wouldn't make a decision either for or against. So another study. And she was like, yeah. So anyway, the church continues to have confusion, conflict, consternation, calamity, chaos. The world certainly does, and even the church does. And so ultimately then, the last C in the Bible in the key of C is we continue to look forward in hope, as Tim was preaching this morning, to the consummation, the great promise of hope and a final victory. And as I said a minute ago, and as Tim was saying this morning, it's not a destruction of the evil, it is a recreation, a new heaven and a new earth, and a new incarnation. The dwelling of God is with people. So it's a new incarnation. We talk about the second coming. Well, that's like a new incarnation, that God will make his home, his tabernacle, again in a fuller way in this new heavens and new earth. So it's not a pessimistic outlook. It's not an outlook of the last days and the tribulation and then everything's going to be wiped away. No, it's everything's going to be made new. Behold, all things are made new. So that's the consummation. And remember last week we talked about the imagery is used of the new Jerusalem. The holy city comes down from heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. Covenant. A marriage covenant. So even in the consummation, there's a...
I had that line going the other way, and I thought you had written up there consumption, and I was
like, oh, consummation. Did I spell it right? No, it's not a consumption, it's a restoration. So that's the Bible in the key of C, and if you want to think back about this whole narrative, and the timeline is very helpful, has the dates on it, creation through to the church, and then on forward, the prophetic vision that follows through. But sometimes as you're studying a Bible passage or thinking in your devotion as you're reading a Bible passage, where does that fit in this whole story? And how does this speak to me about how I fit? Finding my place, finding our place in the biblical narrative. So to me, it's kind of helpful. And that's one thing I've really enjoyed about the class, is even for me, doing it in this collapsed time frame, it's been very helpful to see the connections and the threads that run through and to see how things fit in the whole arc of the story that continues onward. So a couple of themes I wanted to lift out. Remember in the creation we saw in the garden, great provision, but there were boundaries. One tree you can't eat of. That's a theme that comes up over and over again. Gospel, good news, law, there are boundaries. Grace, unconditional grace, but judgment. If you cross the boundaries, there are consequences. So that theme in the story, as God covenants and re-covenants and comes in Christ and works in the church and moves toward the consummation, there's grace and goodness, and there's also boundaries, and we have our responsibility to live up to our part of the covenant. If we don't, then consequences come, judgment comes, not because God is punitive and wrathful, it's consequences that naturally become because we're not living in the shalom God wants for us. We're not participating in doing our part. So that's the thing that follows through. And remember the first session I talked about Leslie Weatherhead's great series of sermons during World War II about the will of God. What is the will of God? Remember World War II, what is the will of God? And so he talked about the three dimensions. God's intentional will in creation, God's circumstantial will. Okay, now that things have fallen apart, what's God's will in this circumstance that may not completely fit what the intentional will was? It's relative. Is that a dangerous word to use? Circumstantial. But it's moving toward God's ultimate will, what God intends, the restoration of all creation. So I think Leslie Weatherhead, you know, at that time, as people were struggling with that whole issue, that kind of traces the biblical narrative, doesn't it? The salvation history narrative. And again, all these positive words we learned last week in the consummation, the story, the message of Revelation is victory and hope and harmony and peace and justice and reconciliation and love and grace and restoration. That's the restoration project, the salvation project of God. So that's kind of my summary in the key of C of the biblical narrative. Now, the last 15 minutes, we've not spent a lot of time saying, okay, how does this speak to our lives today? What's the word for mission impossible? My task, should I choose to accept it? My mission, should I choose to accept it, was to do a lecture class. And so I kind of saw it as my job to do more of a presentation rather than a discussion format. And at the planning team, we talked about the primary purpose of this whole thing was to help us understand the whole story better, to help us understand the content and the direction and the movement of the whole story rather than, okay, let's look at this passage and say, now how does that fit with my life today? Yeah, that's part of it, but not to spend a lot of our time there. So we haven't spent a lot of time discussing where do we fit in this story? So for the last 15 minutes, a few questions for you, and we haven't been very group talkative, but hopefully we'll have things to share this morning about how we have found our place in the story, and as we go forward, how do we find ourselves in God's purpose, God's movement toward restoration? So my first question is, what surprises have there been for you through this course, through the course of all these weeks? Have there been surprises to you, things that you didn't expect or that caught you in a new way?
Well, I think what you just mentioned, how it all hangs together, you know. One doesn't normally think of it. You normally think of little piece here, little piece there.
Okay, good. Yeah, seeing the whole sweep. Yeah. And for me, that's really been one of the, maybe surprises is not the right word, but one of the things that's really stood out for me is the getting that whole sweep up. Other surprises?
Well, this was a surprise for me. I appreciate the emphasis on the hope that we're looking for, the end of the whole thing, the consummation of the whole thing. I appreciate that. Hey, you know, there is something there to work for. It's not just all chaos.
Thanks, Mama. Yeah,
that emphasis.
And really through the whole story, when you realize that God's purpose is restoration, that's all about hope. And even though it's humans have put a roadblock in the way over and over again, God's intention in creation and God's ultimate intention is hopeful. It's hope. Yeah, that's and I thought Tim did a great job of really pointing us to that. You know, there's different kinds of sermons. There's teaching sermons. There's sermons about how you ought to behave, and then there's gospel sermons that are just proclaiming the gospel. I felt like that's what Tim was doing this morning. He was proclaiming the hope that the whole story is about. So, thank you. Other surprises?
Well,
Maybe well, I should have given you these questions last week so you could have thought about them instead of surprising you with it.
I was surprised that I knew it was so many weeks, and it seemed like a long time maybe, but you got almost everything in the Bible. The whole Bible was in these, you know, came out in these weeks.
And it was a struggle sometimes for me to get, especially in that period with all those kings after Solomon, all those kings and prophets. Yeah. There's so much in that period that, you know, and even just to kind of get your head around the succession of the two kingdoms and then how the prophets fit in there, the prophetic vision that's so important, but then the human failings with the kings. But that's amazing. One of the things that's been valuable. I think that whole section in there is probably the thing that I have preached the least about and knew the least about, because we kind of focus on some of the more well-known stories, but those up, the middle part is very important too, so yeah, thanks. It's covered the whole thing.
Something that was kind of interesting for me is the different, subtle difference in narratives for the same story at various points.
Okay.
So different authors had little different takes on the same story from time to time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about in the beginning. We talked about the JEPD in the Torah. Different authors from different different areas having a different take on some of the same stories and how those are woven together in the narrative. And then also in the New Testament, the same thing with the Gospels. You've got four Gospels, each with having different emphases, a different, you know, they're looking at Jesus from a different perspective, and so it brings out different things, and they're common things, but then there's also different insights. So, yeah, that's, you know, I hadn't particularly thought that, hey, the JEPD, four source theory for Genesis, also is a four source theory for the Gospel. So different perspectives, different people telling the same story with different takes on it. Yeah, that's good. And another one that stood out for me is that you see stories and then later there's an episode and you think, wait a minute, that happened, that's just like this story that happened earlier. So some of those same kind of stories with a different time and a different characters, and yet the same process of God's movement in people's lives. Yeah, Meredith.
Well, this wasn't a surprise, but the point that Tim made, one of the points that Tim made in the sermon, is how honest the Bible is. You know, I mean, this is not, I mean, if it's not sort of a, you're not looking at humanity or religion or anything through rose-colored glasses, and it continues into the New Testament too. The disciples who don't get it, and then they're faithless, and then it continues in the history of the church. You know, there's no effort to paint a perfectly, you know, wonderful picture of the church. I mean, you know, there's fighting, and some of the things that Paul says. His letters show that they were fighting among themselves.
So, yeah, that kind of leads to my next question, which was, what's challenged you? What's been maybe upsetting to you or challenging to you? And I think the honesty of the story sometimes can be very challenging. You know,
Elfrida's
lifted up, well, that period of the judges, how violent that was. I can't believe that was really God's will, even though it says God demanded the holy war. So, things that really challenge and maybe upset us, and that has to do with that honesty, that it's not rose-colored glasses. It's telling the story that presents all the faults and failings of humanity and of our understanding of God.
But and in spite of this really flawed vehicle that human beings have been, God carries his purpose for them.
Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Others have challenges, things that challenged you or challenged your faith or challenged your way of thinking about the Bible or about God? Challenges.
You mentioned it a little earlier, but it's just all the different perspectives. And we talk about the Gospels and the different writers. And so there's so much of the time we take the Bible, and this is God's word, and it was a reminder that there are men who prepared this, and so they have perceptions and thoughts and procedures and even agendas to a certain extent that kind of, you have to take all that into consideration where we think of this book and everything that's in it is being absolute a lot of times. So
yeah, sometimes we just kind of take it at face value instead of realizing, wait a minute, this is inspired by God, but the people who were inspired are human. So it's being told by humans. Yes, they're inspired by God, but they're human misconceptions and failings figure into the telling of the story as well. So, yeah, thanks. Yeah, that can be challenging. You said at one point, well, which story's true? Maybe they're all true in a way, and maybe they all have a distortion.
Call what your answer was to that question.
I didn't remember either.
Well, you can go back and listen. And I would encourage those of you who got to be here and present, these are all on the web. And I listened from afar. And I listened to some of them over and over again because I would be doing something and, you know, whatever. But if you have Sundays that you didn't hear or there's something that you question, go back and listen. It was a real gift.
Janelle has been a very faithful student from afar, listening to the audio recordings, and as she just
and
said.
And crying the Sunday you didn't hit the record button. That was the Sunday on the
board. Okay, our bell rang, so the last question I guess you'll have to take with you is, how might this understanding of the whole story change your faith or change your life? How might it affect your life and how you're going to be part of the story? The Restoration Project. So let's close with, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus. Yeah, I have a joke. I've always got a joke. So there was an ecumenical convention in which people from various denominations were at the convention, and several of them got into a car from different denominations, and they were leaving. There was a terrible auto accident that all were killed. A happy joke. So they all go to heaven. They're told. They all go to heaven, and they're standing there. They come to the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, well, you have to show me some proof of your faith. And so the Roman Catholic steps forward and says, well, here's my rosary beads. You can see how worn the rosary beads are. And St. Peter says, oh, good, you can come on in. And then the Baptist steps forward, and he's got a Bible, and it's all dog-eared, and the pages are worn where the Baptist has been studying the Bible. Sure, you can go on in. The Episcopalian steps forward with a Book of Common Prayer. And you can see where the Episcopalian woman is turned back and forth in the pages and followed the worship service. Finally, the Mennonite steps forward and presents a covered dish of macaroni and cheese.
Mark could have been that list.
Yeah, you can change that. Okay, that was a joke. Thanks for asking, Janelle. So don't forget your questionnaire.
Joe, it was a wonderful presentation. never be forgotten.
Oh, well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
You present.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out that last word up there.
This one?
Consummation.
Consummation.
Okay, my hearing is.
I wanted to talk to you.
My hearing aid broke, so I'm not hearing a lot. And I couldn't read it there.
What's the marriage?
The marriage, you know, the bride from heaven. It's the covenant. It's the marriage covenant.
All of Sundays.
That's why I only asked you some assumptions.
This was such a terrific class. I can't tell you, Joe. It was wonderful.
It's been fun today.
I love the way you broke out into singing. I mean, that was one of the best parts.
I'm always thinking of songs. You know, Tim was preaching this morning, and I thought, I hope it's built on nothing.
It's hard to pitch a song.
One song.
One song.